Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Pete Sweeney, 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 Pete Sweeney.
Our Chiefs insider, Pete Sweeney from Arrowhead Pride, joins us every single Friday. Pete, are you with me that it's another multi-sack game for Chris Jones on Sunday night?
Every week he's 100% healthy and doesn't appear in the injury report, he's going to have at least one sack and a half, I'll give him. So I completely agree. I was a little bit upset because I made the bold prediction of Chris Jones breaking the sack record this year, and I thought it was 23, but if Chandler Jones is going to put up 27, then we got to get to 30, baby.
I mean, five sacks a game, we're in big trouble. We need Chandler Jones to go over for like 3 or 4 weeks. We both got some defensive player of the year bets out there.
Pete, you know that any player who talks after the game like he's questioning every life decision, that's when you know you had a bad game against somebody. The Titans left tackle was just God, man, I don't even know if I should play left tackle anymore. It's pretty much how he talked in post game.
Especially a player of Luan's caliber. Yeah. Now, he was coming up, Taylor Luan, he was coming off an injury, of course, and so you got to get your legs back under you. But even still, you know, I would take Luan off an injury not really knowing over a lot of tackles in the league, and it was just an awful showing there in Arizona. But, yeah, Chris Jones looks great. And one of the things that you saw last week that I think will get even better once Frank Clark is in the mix is you can mix and match Chris Jones and pick your opponent in a sense, you know. So I love that aspect, and I think it's going to lead, as I said, to a sack or two a week. And we'll see by the end there if it is indeed approaching Michael Strahan territory, and maybe we are in for a Jones versus Jones, Sammy Sosa McGuire type thing with this sack total each week.
I kind of hope so. I've been enjoying it with Salvador Perez and Shohei Ohtani for the home run race this year, so yeah. It's something I'm looking forward to. We were talking a lot about the defense because it wasn't a great showing by them against Cleveland. Obviously, they got run all over and Baker Mayfield was pretty effective. It is the weight of how much difference was it without Tyrann Mathieu. The way you hear Spags talk, or even Juan Thornhill, who joined us earlier in the week, it sounds like a lot, but even if he's not 100% healthy, Pete, how big of a difference this week will it be with Tyrann Mathieu on the field?
Yeah, I think it'll be huge. I really do. I think he just makes everybody on the defense more comfortable, and they were reeling a little bit without him early on. And Mathieu was honest about that when I asked him yesterday about Thornhill's plays. You know, there were some struggles early, but he ended up coming to his own. And that was a question I really had all week, and it was something that I asked Andy Reid. It was something that I asked Steve Spagnuolo, just the impact of not having Mathieu. And they downplayed it quite a bit. I think it's because they've been coaches so long in this league, and they know players get injured and whatnot, and they're going to have some of the other players step up in that scenario. And so both were quick to compliment what Thornhill was able to do, what the rest of the defense was able to do. But, of course, you want Tyrann Mathieu out there rather than what would be the alternative. Now, I mentioned this on the roundtable that Gold and I were on just an hour or two ago on Fesco in the morning. I was in the room yesterday, and Mathieu was pretty clear in saying he's still working his way toward 100%. And just looking at him a little bit, and again, my speculation, my eyeballs here, he didn't like really look 100% healthy. You wonder how much of those COVID symptoms were affecting him during his 2 weeks out. And so I'm not 100% sure we see 100% of snaps for Tyrann Mathieu. But what I ended up saying on Fesco in the morning, and I'll reiterate here, is any kind of snap that you can get, snap percentage that you can get from Tyrann Mathieu is better than the zero we saw last week, and the defense should certainly be more organized and better because of it.
Pete, I don't mean to sound negative about a team that obviously does a ton of winning and has been to back-to-back Super Bowls, but at some point, whether they sign Tyrann Mathieu to an extension or not, should they not cultivate a second person who they can trust with defensive signaling?
I think that's important. I think that was the communication that you saw last week between what was Anthony Hitchens and Daniel Sorensen, you know, being the veteran guy that kind of stepped in that role. I think if you're not going to get a deal done with Mathieu, you have to have a plan B. The way it sounds now is the Chiefs are eyeing the end of the year to get a deal done with Mathieu, but you always should have alternative plans, I think, available to you. And again, some of that experience last week will be good for these guys in the case that Mathieu isn't available. The Chiefs have been spoiled in the sense that all the games that he's been on the team leading up to it, he has been available. But you saw, I mean, everyone is human at the end of the day, and you got to find ways to win. So I would completely agree with you. I think the ideal scenario, and I think we would agree on this as well, is Mathieu here long term.
We're talking to our Chiefs insider, Pete Sweeney, of course, the editor-in-chief over at Arrowhead Pride. He joins us every Friday here on Cody and Gold. And Pete, on the offensive side for Kansas City, we know how Mahomes fares when a defensive coordinator decides to blitz and blitz and blitz. It's a good thing for Mahomes. It's a good thing for the Kansas City Chiefs. Is it just ego with these coaches? Like, do you expect the Ravens to shift away from that mindset because of the success Mahomes has had? Or is that, look, that's what Martindale does. That's his bread and butter. They're going to blitz Mahomes, and it's probably going to backfire on him.
I think it just depends on how the game goes. I think it's a little bit of both. It's a marriage of your identity, which you don't want to get away from, like what you do well, what you've practiced well, and then also to adjusting to each and every week. And so I think you'll see a little bit of that. The truth is, at the end of the day, Patrick Mahomes will find ways to beat you no matter what kind of coverage you're playing, be it as you're saying, press man and blitzing and or going the zone way. And I think it just really stuck out for me this week, and maybe we should be talking about it more, is just Travis Kelce on that broadcast basically is saying he can just make up the route.
Yeah.
He knows where everyone is going on the play in, as far as skill position players go. So let's say you do go a little bit of zone, and Travis Kelce and they are able to identify that with some of the identifiers that they build in there. Kelce knows where every other player is going, so he could just find the soft spots of the zone. So you can't even really play zone. So how do you beat it? I mean, especially when these guys have this mind meld thing going on. And so I don't know if there's a good answer. And so with there being no good answer, I think you stick with your identity at least to start the game, and then you adjust as you go on. I know that you guys have been playing the clip all week of Wink Martindale, the defensive coordinator for the Ravens, but the idea that Mahomes essentially has 2 to 3 plays each play where you have to defend almost for 5 to 10, sometimes to 12 to 15 seconds, and what's wild about that is he, in a way, gets 9 downs every time he has a pass play. If you run 3 pass plays, in Wink's mind, that's 9 downs to defend. So it's not a good answer no matter what you do, and that's a really good thing for fans of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Specifically against Baltimore, Pete, we've talked a lot about how they have front run in front of that team more than any other team in the NFL does. The Ravens usually lead at half against anybody. They don't against the Chiefs. They are consistently behind double-digit touchdowns. Do you think this game would look different? Do you think because these games have looked very similar, the Chiefs have dominated them. Do you think there's any chance this game could look different if the Texans are actually able to keep this thing close for once at half?
I think the Ravens are just too badly beat up at this point. It's hard for me to wrap my head around the scenario where you enter the halftime locker room and the Ravens are within 2 scores. I mean, I think the Chiefs will be up at least 10 points at half just because of how beaten down their offensive line is. There is that added pressure for Lamar Jackson of trying to get over the Mahomes hump. And you're coming off a game in which you had a big lead against a Las Vegas Raiders team who you're supposed to be significantly better than. I'm talking about the Ravens. The Ravens are supposed to be significantly better than the Raiders. And They blew a huge lead, and then they blew a golden opportunity to really have a wild ending to a Monday night football game. And you have a Kansas City Chiefs team who had two key players down last week, did have a little bit of a scare, but was able to pull it out, and now you're getting them back in Tyrann Mathieu and Frank Clark. While it would be nice to think that there's a scenario in which this could be a good game and close, I can't see it this week specifically.
What's your feeling on snitching, Pete? Are you Sammy Watkins or are you Orlando Brown?
Oh, my God. This obviously depends on the situation. You know, you're talking about something like the Guillotine League. Oh, give me Sammy Watkins. I'm trying to screw you guys all day for kicking me out of that league.
I'm sorry.
You can side with Orlando Brown to an extent in some situations. I think this particular game situation, come on, play the Watkins tape for Orlando Brown. Let Orlando Brown tell all the secrets that he has for the Baltimore Ravens, and let's see a 40-10 type of game there in Baltimore and really stake your claim of the AFC early here.
If it makes you feel any better, Pete, I didn't get Patrick Mahomes in the bidding process in the Guillotine League. He's too expensive.
Why would that make me feel any better? You know how many bids that I could put in for Patrick Mahomes?
Yeah, we felt bad. Zero. Yesterday or 2 days ago, Nick and I were just talking about Guillotine League, and Pete happened to be in the office.
Why would you do that?
And here we are having a nice Guillotine conversation while Pete put on his headphones very quickly after that.
Yeah, I didn't want to hear that. It's ridiculous. I could not believe. I still can't believe it. Here I am in week two. You asked me to do this league for you. You know, I'm a friend of the show. I come on every Friday at 11. You asked me to do different things for you guys. We went to the baseball game together. We were sharing hot dogs in the outfield. And this is the type of thing. You took a random fan of the show, which we love our fans of Cody and Gold. I'm a fan of Cody and Gold. But they trump me, and I do all this for the show. You ask me, hey, we're having this fundraiser next year. Why don't we donate a peanut visit with Pete Sweeney? Yeah, I said, well, yeah. You know what? I love you guys. I'm, of course, going to do that for you. And then what do? You kick me out of the Guillotine League. I still can't believe it.
You're the only person, though, that has an intro like yourself. You're the only person that comes on the show that has one like that. That's just
and I
you.
Am on Happy Birthday Mahomes. I am the feature on that track.
The feature. Yeah. Pete, good to chat with you, man. Enjoy the weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, fellas.
All right, that's Pete Sweeney, the editor-in-chief over at Arrowhead Pride. Of course, check out Arrowhead Pride all week long, all weekend long. Plenty of coverage up there. They got their new podcast out today as well. We will hear Happy Birthday, Patrick, coming up during the Chiefs Red half hour in about 30 minutes or so, because it is Patrick Mahomes' birthday. I will point this out. So Matt McMillan, over at the Kansas City Chiefs, he's been tweeting out on Mahomes' birthday a bunch of Mahomes stats. Like some, like we know, I feel like we've said some of these, but some of them are just absolutely, absolutely insane. And there's probably 10 of them that he's been putting out throughout the day. And I think some of these we're familiar with, but this one, Mahomes has 27 300-yard games in his career. That's the most in the NFL since 2018. That's the second most 300-yard games through 47 career starts in NFL history. He's only behind Kurt Warner, who has 28 of them. Like that, 27 300-plus yard games. It's like expected now for Mahomes. That's nuts.
Yeah, I don't think that hard about it. That sounds right to me.
That's crazy, though.
Do you think he's ever heard Happy Birthday, Patrick?
Has Mahomes heard Happy Birthday, Patrick?
100%.
No way.
Gets it.
No. I think today might be the day. Today might be the day that he hears it coming up in 30 minutes.
We'll probably have to tweet it back out again, Nick. But I also, to try to garner his attention again, I have created something new for Patrick Mahomes today.
Ooh.
And I think I have an angle in which it's more likely he could hear it.
But the first one was so good.
Look, it's great. I can't outdo Happy Birthday, Patrick.
Sequels.
But I'm trying to get him to hear something so I have an idea.
I think you just go out on top, man. We just keep running that one into the ground.
Again, I think, you know, the album, it could be like Cody's Greatest Hits, but
That's the lead track?
When where's that infomercial on at 11 o'clock night, and they're usually like now 57, but it's Cody's Hits 1, and the feature, the first one
is
Happy Birthday, Patrick, featuring Happy Birthday, Patrick, and it plays for a while. And then No Chance plays for a while. Those are the two sellers. That's what's getting people to call the 800 number to make it before it sells out, before it's too late.
Just listen to it, and then we can make a determination if going forward I need a new thing to give him on his birthday, or if next year I just need to do like a remix edition.
Are those both happening at the same time today?
No, I do not have a remix today. We can just play it because people love it.
Okay.
That's clear. But then I've got something else that I think could get his attention, and I want to make sure that he knows that Cody and Gold support his birthday.
Okay. So happy birthday to Patrick Mahomes. We'll hear happy birthday, Patrick, coming up during the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Don't forget also in the noon hour today, another chance at a large specialty pizza from our friends over at The Other Place. You mentioned actually when we were talking with Pete, like, you know, the Ohtani Perez right now, Chase, and maybe we'll have a Chris Jones sack race later this season. But right now, home run wise, Salvador Perez is must watch. He got to number 45 yesterday.
It's leading the league.
He's getting to 50. He's going to get to 50. He needs five more in what? 17 games? Yeah, five more in 15, 16 games, whatever it is now. Like, he's going to get to 50. He's going to break Soler's record of 48 or tie it, no issue, and then break it by at least two. And now look, yesterday he tied Johnny Bench for the most home runs in a single season by a catcher. That in its own right is pretty remarkable.
He's having the single greatest season by a catcher ever. And that might sound too big because individual offensive performances, you might find some of those years, Mike Piazza.
For sure.
Did some big things, right?
Multiple years, really, where Piazza in some areas had better numbers.
Yeah,
actually.
Johnny Bench had a great offensive year.
Yeah.
There's no questions about that. But Piazza played in, I mean, you could argue like power numbers are now. He played in one of the most prolific home run hitting times in there. You know what he did? He never, and I mean never, led the major leagues in home runs, ever. He actually never led the major leagues in anything but OPS plus. Not a single stat. And that's hard for a catcher. It's hard to lead in batting average or on-base percentage and slugging. Certainly numbers that Mike Piazza's career are better than. Those career stat lines. Those years when he hit like, oh, I hit 348 with a 400 on-base percentage. Piazza has those years. But when you couple in how good Salvador Perez is a defensive catcher on top of it, this is the greatest year by a catcher. We're witnessing actual history here. And not just because he got the 45 years. And I hate the stupid-ass qualifier that is by a primary catcher. Like Elias won't recognize it because Salvador Perez has played like 27 games at DH. He has caught the second most games this year at that position. He has caught more than anyone by a mile. And since he has been in the big leagues, the catcher part of this doesn't even need to be a part of the conversation. Oh, he's DH'd occasionally. Big deal.
Yeah, the primary catcher part is odd and how it's been qualified like that. I think what makes it more impressive is he is a catcher, right? I mean, that's what makes it impressive. That's what it is. I mean, look, if you're leading or tied for the league in home runs in any season, I don't care what position you play, but you're doing it at the catcher position.
Soler did it at DH.
Yeah, you're doing it at a catcher position. And again, I really think he's going to get to 50. He needed this type of season, though, to firmly put himself in the Hall of Fame conversation. He's done just that. I mean, he's got a chance.
He's going to be a top three MVP finisher. Sure.
He's going to it. In any other year, he might have won it. He's not going to win it because Ohtani absolutely deserves to win MVP this year. He would finish second.
Stupid Ohtani.
He would finish second in any other year. But unfortunately, Vlad Jr. is having a hell of a season too. Like, that's what's unfortunate. Otherwise, we will legitimately be talking about him being like Johnny Bench, much like Johnny Bench did that year that Bench had 45. Because that year, if I'm not mistaken, Johnny Bench was the league MVP. And so that's the only thing that sucks about this ride here is that in most seasons, I think Salvador Perez would have a true chance to win it. He's not going to win it. We know that. He's not going to be the MVP. He's going to finish in the top five, hopefully finishes third.
And that's why I don't qualify the things that are being qualified against him. Like when he finished top MVP. Well, Johnny Bench is a Hall of Famer. He was an MVP. Yes, he was. He had 45 home runs and 148 RBI. He led the majors in both of those stats. Guess what Salvador Perez leads the majors in right now? Home runs and RBI. Johnny Bench also won a gold glove that year. What do you assume that Salvador Perez is going to do this year? Win a gold glove. You know how old Johnny Bench was when he won that, by the way? Do you know when he won his first MVP and hit 45 home runs?
I don't know, was he in his 20s?
22. He was 22 years old. He also won the MVP when he was 24 years old, when he hit 40 home runs and 125 RBI, and he led the league in that too. And once he had that in his back pocket, he got tons of MVP votes over a number of years. He got an MVP vote in a year where he hit 275 and only had 31 home runs. Like, because that's going to happen once you're in the conversation. That's what's important with Salvador.
And that's what's keeping you watching. I mean, you like the young pitchers, but right now, I mean, Salvador Perez, when you go to the ballpark, it's cool. People are bringing signs, like hoping I see number 46 or more today. And like that is the thought process right now. And I, I mean, how do you not think he's getting to 50? He's on that kind of roll, and it's fun to watch, and that's what's going to make the final few weeks of the season really, really interesting. Just how many home runs can he get? He's going to crush the Johnny Bench record now. Now that he's already at 45 with 2.5 weeks to go in the season, like that, he's going
crushing a home run record by 4 or 5 is a big percentage.
Yeah. He's going to make it almost untouchable the way things are trending with it for a catcher, right? For a catcher to do what Salvador Perez is doing this season, home run number wise. I think that's what's going to happen. It's funny. We mentioned Johnny Bench. We actually tried to get Johnny Bench on the show, and Johnny Bench, he couldn't go to Cooperstown for Hall of Fame a week or so ago. Unfortunately, he was dealing with COVID. We were able to at least get in touch. He said he's not available for the interview, but he's a fan of Salvador, wishes him all the best. Congratulations as he continues on an impressive season. That from the GOAT, Johnny Bench.
I say we try him in about 17 days. It's the end of the Royal season when we'll know Salvador Perez's number. He didn't. Yeah. I mean, This is an incredible, but that's how you get in the Hall of Fame if you have fringe numbers. If there are some questions about like how the numbers work, do something no one's done. Mm-hmm. When they go down, they'll be like, who's the catcher to hit the most home runs in a single season? It is Salvador Perez. Even if he doesn't hit a home run for the rest of the season, the answer is still Salvador Perez. It's tied with Johnny Bench, but it is still the same. Johnny Bench had an incredible career. He's Hall of Famer. He deserves to be a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, he's incredible.
Salvador Perez didn't do some of the things he did at a young age, but he's still doing incredible things. In a different era of baseball, I will add, that always should be factored into any of these conversations.
Yeah, this completely changes the dynamic of Hall of Fame conversation now. This is your milestone career season, not just career year for you, but one of the best seasons by a catcher, if not the best season by a catcher in baseball history. That's how you get yourself at the end of your career into the Hall of Fame. Now, next year, like we've talked about this, next year Salvador Perez could be a 30 home run hitter. Right. That's totally fun. Do that for a couple more seasons. But now that you have that one year that's going to stand out on that page when people go to Baseball Reference, right?
And it's got black ink,
right? That when it comes time down the road, whenever he retires way years from now and eventually is eligible and all that, people are going to look up. Oh, he's on the ballot this year. Let me take a look. And that 2021 is going to be the year that just stands out like crazy.
And because of this year, he has a decent chance to do another thing that will stand out to Hall of Fame voters. Pass George Brett is the all-time career home run leader for the Kansas City Royals. He could be a franchise's career home run leader, and it's not even asking that much. All you need is 100 more, 120 more home runs over Salvador Perez over the next 5 years. So 25 home runs a year, and he's the Royals' all-time home run leader. He's already second, by the way. He just passed Mike Sweeney. It's incredible. He's doing incredible things.
Coming up next, we'll get to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Well, the reports were out there, and he responded, but does it actually change anything? I don't think so. That's next.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Chiefs Red Half Hour, every day at 11:30 on Cody and Gold.
Chiefs Red Half Hour is brought to you by E. Edwards Workwear, proud partner of Carhartt Clothing. Coming up at 1 o'clock today, we'll head out to Arrowhead. You'll hear Andy Reid live here on your official broadcast partner for the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio. Final time you'll hear from Andy prior to the Chiefs making the trip out to Baltimore to take on the Ravens Sunday Night Football. Also a reminder today in the 1 o'clock hour, we will both be spinning the wheel. Both of us.
Must be nice. Nick, you wanted to spin it in solidarity. Everybody spin?
On the hook today for losing our bets.
You
want to
spin it in solidarity? He wasn't even around when I lost the bet.
Cody's making up for one from like 8 months ago.
I remember why I lost. Yeah.
And I said Jody Fortson during training camp would not make the active roster, the 53-man roster. Of course, he has, and he is one of the four tight ends, or he is the fourth tight end. So I have to spin the wheel. We have three more open spots. Is that right?
Three.
So we need three more punishments to put on the wheel. 913-576-7610. Taking a couple more last-minute suggestions. Then around 1:30, we will spin the wheel and have to pay it off, most likely by next Friday.
How about Jay Binkley back rub live on the air?
Why would we do that?
Like, you give him like a back scratch.
You have to give him
a back rub?
Scratch or rub?
Scratch.
Here's a satisfying sound again. Ooh, doesn't that sound nice? That's a good sound.
Jay, Nick really wants us to add something involving Jay Binkley on this wheel.
The original tip came from the text line who said drink a beer out of Jay Binkley's shoe.
That's so disgusting.
And we all agree that that was too
far. But like, that doesn't have anything to do with Bink. Like, I wouldn't drink a beer out of anyone's shoe.
Yeah, that feels accurate.
All feet are disgusting.
We have,
so I don't care.
Yeah, someone says hottest wing or chip. We do have...
The Pocky
Chip Challenge or whatever is on there. Someone says change the person's Twitter handle. I'm not losing my name, so that's not on the board. That's just not happening.
What if we could change your Twitter profile photo to you sitting on a toilet?
How about
that's fun.
Doesn't I, expose anything? Does that seem
that's
fair?
That's fun.
Or a mirror selfie every day for a month.
Oh, God.
Why a month?
I do think we should do something with, one of those.
I think changing
two.
The profile photo to you sitting on a toilet. No, you know, like I won't expose anything.
50-piece chicken nugget with no sauce or water.
No. That's, that would be pretty brutal.
I'm putting Twitter profile change on here. I think the other two people can determine what the photo is within reason.
They heard Nick likes to give swirlies a swirly from Nick after Nick told us a story that just within the last year or two, it sounded
like. No, this was college. This was college.
So that would be at the office you'd have to give a swirly? That seems problematic.
I don't think I'd take a swirly at this side. This office.
How long do you think the Twitter profile photo's got to be up? A week?
Yeah, it's just a week.
Week feels appropriate?
Because these are technically week bets, right? I mean, they're weekly bets, so.
Speaking of which, we do not have anything lined up for that. Who wants to make a bad decision?
I like that one. Grow a stash for the rest of football season.
That is a long bet.
I mean, it'd take me the rest of football season to grow a mustache.
Okay.
I mean,
but you cannot shave it under any circumstances.
It can be on the board. I do video stuff now on the weekend, so that's the only problem.
Give me a break, dude.
I mean, I do.
Warren Sharprock's a beautiful mustache. He does plenty of video.
Lots of people have facial hair and do video stuff.
Yeah, but because they actually want that facial hair.
But just because you don't want it doesn't mean it won't look good.
Yeah, I think you'd grow the best mustache on the show.
You can clearly grow facial hair.
Yes.
I can tell by your 5 o'clock shadow that you have thick facial hair. So, like, it will look fine. It's not going to look bad.
Put it on there. It's got to be a different time frame, though. Not the end of the football season.
Dude,
that's 5 months.
I guarantee you this is what's going to happen.
Do it for a month or so. 2 months. 2 or 3 months.
To the rest of the year. 2021. It's not a payoff if you're only doing
that's
it for like a week or two.
Bet.
That is a long time.
Yeah, I mean, it can't be a week because that's nothing. But
a week, I wouldn't grow a mustache. Yeah. Let's just be very clear.
Okay,
about
what about just facial? What about just the facial hair? You don't have to do mustache specific. You just have to grow the beard out.
For a month?
No, the rest of 2021.
It's so long.
That's the point of this. Okay, you know what?
You already have
you
facial
guys are
hair.
Actually, I'm new to this.
Here's the
but
problem,
you guys
though,
are
Nick,
like trying to hedge bets here and say like, well, let's make them punishments, but let's make them kind of fun. No.
Okay. Well, Nick,
these are not supposed to be fun.
They're not, but here's the only.
There's a limit.
The only reason why I'm laughing at this one a little bit is the person that suggested it. And the ingredient
has facial hair.
We're on the radio, so you guys can't see. But let me turn my head and describe what I'm looking at across the way. In Nick Schwartz, a guy that has a beard, therefore also has a mustache going, so doesn't give a damn if you land on that, it's got to be something that would affect everybody. Like that mustache.
Yeah, but it would still affect me to not be able to shave at all for a year.
Would it look much different than what you already got going on?
It would look
bushier.
Bushier and somewhat, okay. I would look like
someone says,
disheveled.
Wax your legs live on the air. That is on the board. That
it's
is
already
on
the board.
A paper cut between the fingers. Why?
Oh my God. This is like actual human torture now. Wow.
Yeah, we're going to waterboard you for an hour.
keep the suggestions coming. My goodness. We'll make a decision and we will spin the wheel. Both Cody and I have a punishment coming our way. At 11:30, someone did say, let Fesco tweet from your account for a week. Oh, gosh.
You'd know it
was
Bob.
Oh, man, that would be brutal for a little while as well. Okay, so we'll get to that. It is the Chiefs Red Half Hour. And
we could add the Twitter profile thing. We could add a second Twitter one that is essentially just the Whit Merrifield, Brady Singer Twitter thing we're saying now. Okay. I get to tweet one thing from your account, and you don't get to say that it's from me.
Yeah, as long as it's not something like that gets anybody fired. Yeah.
I'm not going to say anything racist or anything. It's not going to be that, but it might be, it'll be questionable in nature, I imagine.
Deal. Put it on there.
Okay. I might get rid of grow mustache because Nick can't agree to a timeline that's reasonable.
You guys, honestly, what, 2 months, 3 months? You guys act like it's the end of the world.
Mine would look bad.
That's the point. I mean,
it's not
like,
supposed to look good.
It's not supposed to be like, wow, Cody, you're looking so dapper with that new facial hair. That would sort of defeat the point.
So
swim in a pool.
Here's the issue I have here. Is that I would agree that like wearing a mustache for a week is enough time. Gold's got to grow a mustache for a week, and then he's got to wear it for a week. So it's a 2 week process. I'd have to do it longer than that, because in a week you would be wholly unimpressed.
Dude, 2 weeks isn't
enough
either.
By the mustache. No, I need like a month to get a proper mustache going. Gold might need 2 weeks to have like a good full looking regular mustache. I would need months.
Even somebody of his follicular makeup needs more time than that to grow in, because there's the awkward stage. Even for me, like, I can grow a fine mustache, but there's an awkward stage that lasts about a month.
Man, this is why you're saying it needs to last as long as it does. We'll keep it coming. 913-576-7610.
Well, there's a lot. They're getting better on the text line, too. They're getting even.
In what way?
Creativity. I mean, there's also, someone says, after the last Chiefs game, you jump in a lake.
If we dyed your hair jet black or gray?
For like a week or something? It'll be fine. I don't care.
Sure.
Wouldn't that go out after a week, like after you shower? Anyway.
Just, you know, you have to grow it out.
Depends
you have to grow it out if you get it dyed. No, I'm not kidding. You have to
grow. Why gray? Why would you not?
Because it would look ridiculous if a 30-year-old man had a
gray hair. It'd be funny.
It's a gray fox.
Dye your hair gray is pretty good.
All right, put it on the board.
Dyeing her hair? That's what we're going with?
Put it on the board.
Put it on the board.
I think in Nick's case, we might actually choose black, because like he's got kind of that sandy color maybe a little bit anyway.
I don't have gray hair.
No, but it's just like it's lighter, I feel like.
Whatever you want, dude.
Like green, red.
I don't think you understand like how different just jet black hair looks. It doesn't look natural.
All right, we'll continue to work on that. Let's talk some Chiefs football. It is the Chiefs Red Half Hour. There were reports earlier this week about Eric Bieniemy and his name emerging as a candidate to become the next head coach at USC. Eric Bieniemy, first time he had a chance to talk about, or at least be asked about it, I should say, was yesterday. This was his answer when he was asked, if USC reached out to offer you the job, would you entertain it?
You guys know I'm a focus-driven individual. That's a question that I can answer when the season's over. You know, at this particular moment, my job is to make sure that we're ready to go. And when it's all said and done, that stuff will take care of itself. You know, I got a bunch of guys here who are counting on me. I always talk to our players about the importance of being accountable to one another. So how can you be accountable to someone if you're allowing distractions to seep in? This is not what we're about here. This is why we've had the success that we've had here, because we find ways to eliminate the distractions and focus on the task at hand. Today is our third down day, so it's situational football day. That's the task that I'm focused on, and I need to make sure that we come away with a good practice so we can give ourselves a chance to have a chance on Sunday to go out and play.
So, very similar answer to what he gave during the playoffs last year when there was the NFL interviews going on right before the playoffs, when he was conducting NFL interviews saying, like, my job is to get ready for the Chiefs and the Browns, let's say. Now it's the Chiefs and the Ravens or whatever. And so that's the answer, I think, that probably was expected. I don't think it changes anything,
though. I didn't hear a no.
Yeah, it doesn't change anything. I do think the timeline is a problem for anybody, whether it's EB or anybody that's in the NFL that potentially a college job opens up. It's a problem when it opens up in January because
of
the playoffs.
It's a problem for like Luke Fickell if he were to take the job too, right?
It's a big issue because this is the beginning of an NFL season. So if you're Eric Bieniemy and let's say you were offered the USC job, but they said, hey, by October 1st, you need to become our head coach. Take over the rest of the season and start that process. Do you do it? Do you stop in the middle of an NFL season? Versus in January, you get offered. Recruiting's already well started up by then. You still would have to miss the playoffs at that point in time. But does that change it for you versus if they offered it to you?
Or can you accept the job and put somebody else in charge of recruiting while you finish your playoff coaching search?
Right. Would they allow you to do that? Well, I'm not taking the job if I'm Eric Bieniemy. I'm not doing it.
I wouldn't either. That job's not good enough for me right now. Because I still think if he doesn't get an NFL coaching job this year, he might have to reevaluate what qualifies as a good job or not. But he should actually learn the lesson from what happened with Kansas once. Like, the reports were Harbaugh would have taken the Kansas job at that time. But they're like, no, you can't coach your team in the bowl game. Can't allow that. That'd be a big problem for us. You can't be coaching Stanford in the bowl game. You got to come right over. Stupid. If you want them bad enough, if you're USC and Eric Bieniemy is your guy and you got to wait till February to get him, then wait till February to get him. Because here's the thing about Eric Bieniemy is he does still have other choices. For one, he has the best offensive coordinator job in the entire NFL. Pretty good job, right? He gets paid plenty of money to do it. I believe he'll have NFL vacancies this year that will be available to him. Pretty good options. He also will have other college options if he wants to take those. Colorado and USC are not going to be the only college coaches who come calling for Eric Bieniemy if that's the case. So if you want him, you cannot put qualifiers on it. I actually think that's the biggest mistake USC can make. I didn't take that as a no from Eric Bieniemy. I don't think he meant like no. I think he's just
he's also
trying.
Not the leading candidate. I want to be clear on that. There's a report from Schefter was that he could emerge as a candidate. I thought Joel Klatt, who of course is great on college broadcasts and is hooked up in that world by all means, and he mentioned he was like the sixth name that, again, that's just Joel Klatt's opinion, but he listed him as the sixth name that he would call first. And that's kind of where he put him at. So it's not as if the report is that Eric Bieniemy's emerged as the favorite to land the USC job. It's just as emerged as a candidate, someone that they might want to talk to, given his ties to SoCal, of course, his success that he's had. And I think he would be a really good college coach.
I do too.
I just think the idea that what he's done, he's more than qualified to be an NFL head coach. We all know that.
Honestly, I think he'd probably be a better college coach than a pro coach. It just fits him better.
He'd be impressive going in your living room. If you're a family and you've got an 18-year-old or 17-year-old kid and Eric Bieniemy walks in your living room and talks to you, I mean, how are you not impressed by what he's going to do from a football thing and also from just, you know, teaching your son, right, life in general? Like, how is that not something that he wouldn't succeed at? I think he absolutely would be amazing at that.
No, I do. I think he'd be great at it. But I still think he deserves, if he wants it, and clearly he does, based on the number of NFL head coaching interviews he's done to this point, he deserves his opportunity there. I think he did a really good job at writing a line. He tried actively to not really answer yes or no, which is exactly what his job is to do. I'm not even mad. Like, sometimes you're like, oh, he gave a non-answer. I should be annoyed, right, as a member of the media. He can't win if he answers this a different way, Gold. If he says, yes, I'd be interested in USC, then we come on here and we're like, why would he say that in the middle of the season as they're getting ready for the Ravens? I don't think I would personally say that, but that's what gets said, right? Fairly easy. That's what NFL Live says. That's the conversation. Is he smart for saying that? Should he want the USC job? It becomes a distraction. If he says, no, thanks, hard pass, then he looks like the guy who either is just too good for a job, too good for USC, too good for USC, huh? Oh, okay. All right, fine. He becomes that guy, or it becomes a distraction, or we don't believe him, like Urban Meyer saying, no chance, no chance, looking down, shuffling his feet.
Yeah, Urban Meyer has also the track record of just
leaving.
So it's, his whole thing is way, you know, just way different. But yes, it'll be something to continue to follow. We'll see. There's going to be plenty of other coaches in college, too, that use that USC job to get an extension in their case, right? If you're a college coach and your name comes up or your agent leaks it out, if you're a college coach, that's one way for you to get an extension at the college level as well. As we continue in the Chiefs Red Half Hour, you know, last week it was all about Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill. They didn't frankly need the third or fourth option on this offense. Mecole Hardman, though, has fared pretty darn well against the Baltimore Ravens. If you're looking at maybe an opportunity for that bigger game from Mecole Hardman, although if Tyreek Hill or Travis Kelce are open, those are the guys that should and will get the football. That's exactly how things should go in this offense. There's a reason why they are some of the best, if not the best, at their particular position. But Mecole Hardman, last year, 4 catches, 81 yards, and a touchdown against the Ravens. 2019, now you were telling me maybe Tyreek Hill's absence impacted this one, but 2 catches, sure, 97 yards, and a touchdown. The one thing, the numbers are impressive, but you notice it's not like it was an 8-target or an 8-catch day. It was 4 catches or 2 catches. So should we be counting on Mecole on Sunday? I don't think you need to count on him, and Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill are there enough, but you're fine even if Mecole doesn't. But history would say that against the Ravens, for whatever reason, and I think the reason is that the Ravens blitz, and therefore you're going to have some speed open down the field.
Yeah.
Mecole Hardman, there's probably a good chance that he has a better week this go-around, and there might be your third or fourth option has a bigger game. It's not a necessity, though.
No, but I do think I do think it's going to happen. Let me put it that way. Do they need Mecole Hardman to go off big to win? No. But there's obviously a clear mismatch, and I think a lot of it goes down to what you're talking about. When they blitz, they open up big. They do cover zero all the time. Zay Jones, right? On the Monday Night Football game, Gold. They run into those problems as a result of their aggressiveness. And once that happens, guys like Mecole Hardman thrive. It's not like he's got a million catches. You said it was six catches between the two games, but 170 yards. Like, big plays will happen against that Ravens defense. This is how they constantly get themselves behind. I don't understand why they don't, for one game, try to be different than what they are. But it's hard. If you remember, you go back to even the final year of Bob Sutton, when he knew his job was probably in the line. They just had a bad playoff performance defensively, and he was on the line, which felt like could have been his last year as a Chiefs defensive coordinator, and he was still in playoff games, in regular season games, running the same kind of defensive scheme, like you are who you are at some point. But that's what happens. Mecole Hardman, I expect to have a good game on Sunday as a result of exactly this. Might be quieter for some other guys, which is fine. I mean, Tyreek Hill had the, I don't know, one of the quietest 197 yards, I feel like, in that first game. Nobody made a huge deal about it. He just made, we didn't. Like, yeah, 197 yards for Tyreek. Good job, man. Fine work. Nobody was like, wow, what a performance. It wasn't that far off from his performance. I know he had even more yards in that first Bucs regular season game because he had 200 yards and a quarter. But it's still, like, it just ho-hum, 197 yards. I expect Mecole Hardman to have at least one deep catch in this game.
Before we get to happy birthday, Patrick, it is Patrick Mahomes' birthday, just a little bit of Royals news in the last 2 minutes or so. Brady Singer placed on the injured list. The Royals making that announcement, and guess who they're calling up? John Heasley, selected from Northwest Arkansas.
Oh, wow.
Another 2018 draft pick pitcher who's been down in Double A. So, unfortunately for Brady Singer, finds himself on the injured list once again. And now that you're getting this portion of the season, one would think, right, that's probably it for the season for Brady Singer.
Probably, but Heasley is a fascinating one because why this
double
is anybody
a,
else
straight from Double A.
Yeah,
too.
But this is anybody else's service time. Like if it every this is the same service time question you would have with any of your young players.
Maybe they want to look. They want
you
to
are
look.
Cracking the door with Heasley. And with Heasley, I imagine I don't want to look to be sure. I imagine you need a 40-man roster spot in order to do that. Now you could probably place Brady Singer on the You could probably transfer him to the 60, or maybe there's somebody else to transfer in the 60, considering it's this late in the season. But that is a surprise for the Royals that Heasley would have gotten called up, or at least been part of that mix.
Maybe a little look, get an idea for the offseason and what potential options you have there. That's something that'll be interesting. So that'll give you something to look forward to whenever he gets an opportunity to pitch in an upcoming game.
I like someone's suggestion in the text line for the wheel, by the way. It said one space should be dedicated to let Pete Sweeney choose the punishment from the rest of the wheel for a person. To honor him, Nick, for kicking him out of the guillotine league, he should just have one honorary spot. If it lands on him, he could choose any punishment on the board to give the person who spins.
That's a dangerous game.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very dangerous game.
Yes, obviously
game
it's a dangerous game. The question is, do we owe it to Pete?
Things are getting contentious after the beard discussion. You do not want to grow a beard, and that's just a straight-up fact.
I don't care. I mean, fine. I'm not going to be embarrassed by it.
Okay.
I just feel like it's going, like, I would.
That's what somebody who cared would say.
I would have to do it through the end of the year, and it still might not look like a beard.
You know what would probably
just
happen?
You're good with that.
No, what would happen, Alex, is he'd start growing it out, and then after, like, a month, we'd say, okay, you just shave it because we're going to get really tired of looking at it every day.
Yes.
Yeah, Nick, I got to look straight ahead at this guy constantly
throughout
the show.
That's exactly
what
my beard would look like. And can I trim it so that it like looks clean?
I want to actually, voting for Alex too. No, you can't touch it.
Hold on, you got to be able to clean up the neck area a little
bit. Fine, that's it, the neck.
You got
to be able to clean up the neck area for the bed.
I think Alex is going to grow a beard out and then be a beard guy forever.
Whoa.
I think he should be a beard guy. I think it'd be a good look for you. I
it's
told you
actually
this the last time.
Disrespectful to all the guys like Cody who can't grow beards that you're
refuse.
Actively not growing.
Why can't you just be a winter beard guy? Girls like beards.
Winter beard guy? I don't even know the process to maintain that and all the things that go with
dude,
that.
Dude, you just don't do anything to it.
No, but I hear people have all this crap they have to put in their beards.
Beard oil. I put beard oil in every morning.
See?
That's it. Boom.
See?
That's
an extra thing to do. It's an extra thing to deal with in the morning.
You could do it at night.
All right. Is that getting on the wheel or not?
Pete's?
No. The beard thing.
It's not currently on.
I don't think it's till the end of the football season. It's till like December. December 1.
A full 2 months?
Yeah. Now, of course, if nobody lands on it, though, and it's November, then it's got to be pushed back
to
February.
I think you'd grow it out to 2022.
No, well, it's not on the board yet. We still got to negotiate the timing on it.
You guys are unbelievable.
Okay, Cody's really resisting it.
End of the year is a long. You're also resisting the end of the year. December 1st, I can agree to.
Yeah, I thought. Okay, but you. Okay. December 1st.
This is eerily reminiscent of the conversation of kicking Pete out of the league and trying to convince you guys to share a team. And you guys are like, oh, but seriously, we'll talk about this later.
All right.
Like giving me the look like,
1 o'clock hour
drop
today,
it, dude.
We are spinning the wheel. Today is a special day, though. Number 15, Patrick Mahomes. It is his birthday here on September the 17th.
I think that in honor of that, we have to play Happy Birthday, Patrick, because people love it. But first, before I play that, before we go to break.
This is dangerous that you're going to play this before. Okay.
Well, then I lead people.
It's dangerous.
I wanted to get Patrick Mahomes' attention for his birthday. That seemed possible if I went through TikTok. I know his brother.
TikTok.
His brother's a big fan of TikTok.
You're on TikTok?
No, not really.
I have a TikTok account, but I never use it.
But it's same. My brother, but his brother is on TikTok. Somebody sent me something that was going viral on TikTok, right? It's one of the, it's a trend. And I thought, if I did this, but for his birthday, he might care. So, let me explain very quickly. It's called the Grace Kelly Challenge.
Who the hell is Grace Kelly?
She's a famous musician.
Old actress, right?
Old actress, yeah.
Okay.
Used to sing in musicals and stuff.
Okay.
She was, you know, like the idea is that you do a very short song, right? This is only 6 lines, but it's repeated where you have to do every part of the song. So this song is just me singing every different harmony part of a song, but about Patrick Mahomes' birthday. Please enjoy.
Patrick Mahomes leading the Chiefs. It is his birthday today. Get him a big ring, something that goes bling. It could be anything you like. Patrick Mahomes leading the Chiefs. It is his birthday today. Get him a big ring, something that goes bling. It could be anything you like. Patrick Mahomes leading the Chiefs. It is his birthday today. Get him a big ring, something that goes bling. It could be anything you like. Patrick Mahomes leading the Chiefs. It is his birthday today. Get him a big ring, something that goes bling. It could be anything you like. Patrick Mahomes leading the Chiefs. It is his birthday today. Get him a big ring, something that goes bling. It could be anything you like.
So I'll post it on TikTok, and we'll just try to get Patrick Mahomes' attention.
That is a lot there. There's a lot going on there.
What's going on?
I feel like we were in like choir class in 7th grade there is what that felt like.
That's the challenge.
Ooh. People are interested in that on TikTok?
Yes. I mean, presumably it's better musicians, typically speaking, but yes.
Okay. I got a headache for like 15 seconds.
Really? Thank you. Thank you. I put myself out there on this show, okay?
I thought it was beautiful.
The way
you harmonized with yourself.
That's the whole point.
Text line agrees. Please stop.
No, it was good. The text line likes
terrible.
Fine, we'll give you what you want going into break.
Hey, Patrick. It's your birthday. We didn't forget. This is your song from Cody and Gold. Just 25 years old and on top of the world. He's the number one quarterback that ever twirled. He's an MVP with a Super Bowl and already got KC with his heart he stole. He's Patrick. Happy birthday, Patrick. Enjoy your birthday, Patrick. Eat some cake, Patrick. Talk to my man, Big Swing.
Pat's the king, the MVP, the ghost rider of Arrowhead Pride. Big Sween dropping in for 2 truths and a lie.
We're sorry we forgot a present, even when you got us a ring. But we love KC, we'll always be the place that you do your thing. Happy birthday, Patrick Mahomes. Happy birthday, Patrick. Happy birthday, Patrick. It's your birthday, Patrick. Eat some cake, Patrick. Have a happy birthday, Patrick. Happy birthday.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.